glorious, unmatched, a rank supreme, a blessed name, a timeless gleam, chosen above all by Allah's decree. Muhammad alayhi salam, our nobility. Unique honors of the beloved Prophet.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Welcome once again to Madani Channel's program, Unique Attributes of the Beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In today's episode, we'll talk about events from the blessed youth of the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Inshallahul Kareem. So, to begin our episode with blessings, let's hear about the virtues of sending durood upon the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "On Thursdays, Allah Almighty sends angels who carry silver sheets and golden pens. They record everyone who sends abundant durood upon me on Thursday and the night before Friday." Subhanallah. Humne khata mein na ki, tumne ata mein na ki, koi kami sarwara, tum pe karodon durood. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, when the blessed childhood of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came to an end, and his youth began, it was extraordinary and unlike that of ordinary people. Even before the declaration of prophethood, every aspect of his life was a treasure of the highest morals and noble traits. Truthfulness, honesty, loyalty, keeping promises, honoring elders, showing compassion to the young, love for the relatives, generosity and kindness, serving the community, empathy for friends, caring for loved ones, looking after poor and needy, treating enemies with goodness, wishing well for all of Lord's creations. In all these noble qualities and virtuous deeds, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had reached an unparalleled heights of the greatest people in the world could neither reach them. So let us now listen to some of the inspiring events from the radiant and exemplary youth of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which will help ignite our love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even more in our hearts. At the same time, let us also intend to make the lessons and guidance drawn from these events a part of our practical lives. Before Islam, Arabia was plagued by constant wars. Daily fighting had destroyed hundreds of families, and widespread mistrust, looting, and chaos had brought the land to complete insecurity. No one felt safe with their life or property. Neither day or night offered any peace. The people, weary of this terrifying state, sought a reform. As a result, the leaders of Quraysh from the tribes such as Banu Hashim, Banu Zuhra, and Banu Asad gathered at the house of Abdullah ibn Jud'an, Sayyidina Zubayr ibn Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, proposed that an agreement to be made to restore peace and order. The leaders of Quraysh pledged to uphold the principle of live and let others live. They took an oath to remove insecurity from the land, protect travelers, assist the poor, defend the oppressed, and ensure that no oppressor or aggressor would be allowed to reside in Makkah. Several people who participated in this agreement were named Fadl, which is why it came to be known as Hilful Fudul, the pact of those few men whose name was Fadl. The blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also took part in this agreement. This pact was so dear to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that after the declaration of prophethood, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say that this pact brought him so much joy that even if someone had offered him a red-colored camel in exchange, it would not have made him as happy. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam further said, "Even today, if anyone calls upon me for help, especially the oppressed, I'm always ready to assist him." My dear viewers, from this narrated event, we gain several inspiring lessons. First lesson: even in his youth. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam possessed such exceptional wisdom and intellect that the leading chiefs of the Quraysh would include him in their most important consultations and agreements. The perfect intellect of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was unparalleled, as a great scholar, Sayyidina Wahab ibn Munabbi rahmatullahi alayhi states, "I studied 71 scriptures, heavenly books, and found written in all of them that the intellect granted by Allah Almighty to all people from the beginning to the end of the world is like a tiny particle compared to the blessed intellect of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Just as a particle is insignificant compared to the vast desert of the world, indeed, the wisdom and judgment of the Holy Prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam surpassed that of all other people." Second lesson, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was a true sympathizer and supporter of the oppressed. When the agreement of Hilful Fudul was made in favor of the oppressed, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam expressed his joy, saying, "This pact has brought me so much happiness that even if someone had given me a red-colored camel in exchange, it would not have made me as happy." From this, we learn that we should also understand the pain and suffering of the oppressed. We should support them, show compassion, seek justice on their behalf, and to the best of our ability, prevent oppressors from committing wrongdoing. Truly blessed are those Muslims who help the oppressed, for Allah Almighty has promised forgiveness and glad tidings to such people. The final Prophet of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever listens to the plea of an oppressed person, Allah Almighty will record 73 acts of forgiveness for him. One of these will correct all his deeds, and the remaining 72 will raise his ranks on Judgment Day." On another occasion, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever goes with an oppressed person to help him, Allah Almighty will grant him steadfastness on the day when everyone's footing will be slipping." Third lesson, even in his youth, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was a true executor of social reform. He was always at the forefront of ending conflicts, dispute, and bloodshed. In contrast, our world today is often the opposite. Many of us, instead of resolving fights and promoting reconciliation among Muslims, provoke further anger. We stand at a distance enjoying the spectacle and even take pictures or videos of conflicts to upload on social media. Just think about it. Are true devotees of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam limited to mere slogans and claims? Are they insensitive? Do they encourage Muslims to fight? Do they enjoy seeing Muslims in conflict? Do they record and share pictures and videos of quarrels? Absolutely not. True devotees of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam protect the honor, dignity, lives, and property of Muslims. They unite Muslims, resolve disputes among them, prevent sins, and invite them to righteousness. Let us make a firm intention today. We will not watch fighting Muslims as a spectacle, nor will we take their pictures or videos. Instead, we will strive to reconcile quarrelsome or upset Muslims whenever possible, earning the rewards for facilitating peace. Let us now hear a beautiful hadith regarding the virtues of bringing about peace among Muslims. Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu reports that the Messenger of Allah Almighty sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, "Shall I not tell you about a deed that is superior in rank even to fasting, prayer, and zakah?" The noble companions radiyallahu anhum ajma'in asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, why not?" He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam replied, "Reconciling between people." However, remember that reconciling among Muslims is only permissible if it stays within the bounds of religious rulings. Any reconciliation that makes something haram halal or something halal haram is not allowed. As narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, "It is permissible to reconcile between Muslims, but not in a way that makes haram halal or halal haram." Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi explains this hadith saying, for example, reconciliation is made between a married couple in such a way that the husband will not go to his other wife, or a Muslim debtor will give so much alcohol or interest-based wealth to a non-Muslim lender. In the first case, something halal has been made haram, and in the second case, something haram has been made halal. Such reconciliations are haram, and it becomes wajib to annul them. My dear viewers, we've heard how blessed it is to reconcile between Muslims, so much so that the hadith describes it as superior even to fasting, prayer, and zakah. My dear viewers, you've heard how blessed it is to reconcile between Muslims, so much so that the hadith describes it as superior to even fasting, prayer, and zakah. How wonderful it would be if the day comes when we too become those who bring peace among Muslims. Amir of Ahl Sunnah, the founder of Dawat-e-Islami, Dawat Barakatumul Aliyah, through his Sunnah-inspired speeches, Madani Muzakaras, writings, and compilations, continues to strive practically to keep the Sunnah alive. From time to time, he also encourages Muslims to remain united. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam reached the age of 25. His honesty and trustworthiness had become widely known. Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu anha was a very wealthy lady of Makkah whose husband had passed away. She needed a trustworthy person to take her trade goods to Syria. Her choice fell upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. She sent word to him to take her merchandise to Syria, promising that she would give him double the usual profit because of his honesty and integrity. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam accepted and set out for Syria with the trade goods. She also sent her trusted servant Maysara to accompany him and serve him during the journey. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam arrived at the famous city of Basra, he stayed near the monastery of Christian monk named Nastura. Nastura had known Maysara for a long time. Upon seeing the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Nastura approached Maysara and asked him, "Who is this resting under the tree?" Maysara replied, "He's from Makkah, the descendant of Banu Hashim. His name is Muhammad and his title is Al-Amin." Nastura said, "No one has ever rested under this tree except a prophet. I am certain that this is the final prophet because I see all the signs of the final prophet mentioned in the Torah and the Injil in him." He further added, "I wish I could live to see him declared prophethood. I would have supported him and served him with complete devotion all my life." Maysara, "I advise you never to leave him for even a moment and to serve him with utmost sincerity and devotion, for Allah Almighty has honored him as the final prophet." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam quickly sold the merchandise in Basra and returned to Makkah. Upon entering the city, Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was watching the group from an elevated place. When her gaze fell upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, she saw a remarkable sight: two angels shading his noble head from the sun. This luminous vision left a deep impression on her heart, and she continued to observe it with great love and reverence. Later, when she asked Maysara about the journey, he confirmed that he had witnessed this remarkable scene throughout the trip, along with many other extraordinary events. He also mentioned the conversation with Nastura and the monk's reverence for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Upon hearing all this, Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha wished to marry the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. My dear viewers, Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu anha was an extremely noble and virtuous lady. The people of Makkah used to call her Tahira, that is, the chaste woman, because of her chastity. The chiefs of Quraysh desired to marry her, but she rejected all the proposals. However, after observing the character and manners of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and hearing about his extraordinary qualities, her heart naturally became turned to marry him. Consequently, she radiallahu anha consulted the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam's paternal aunt, Sayyidatuna Safiya radiallahu anha, to learn more about his personal attributes. Then, through Sayyidatuna Nafisa binte Umayya, she sent the marriage proposal directly to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The famous historian of Sirah, Imam Ibn Ishaq, records that the reason Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha chose this marriage was her statement that she selected the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam because of his excellent manners and his truthfulness. Tera khulq sabse bala, tera husn sabse ala, fida tujh pe sab zamana, madani madine wale. Meaning, O Master of Medina, your noble manners are the best of all, and your blessed beauty surpasses all. Your radiant handsomeness is such that, O Master of Medina, all ages are devoted to you and completely devoted in love and reverence. My dear viewers, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam presented this marriage proposal before his uncle Abu Talib and other senior members of his family. The entire family joyfully accepted the proposal and a date for the marriage was set. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, accompanied by Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu and other uncles, family members, and the nobles and chiefs of Banu Hashim and Banu Mudad, went to the residence of Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu anha, where the marriage took place. At the time of marriage, Abu Talib delivered a very eloquent and powerful sermon. The essence of the sermon was, all praise belongs to Allah Almighty, who created us from the lineage of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. He made us part of the families of Banu Mudar and Ma'ad, appointed us as caretakers of his house, the Holy Kaaba and his sanctuary, granted us a household of knowledge and wisdom, a secure sanctuary, and made us leaders over the people. This is my brother's son, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is a young man who in any comparison with the people of Quraysh will excel in every way. Though he has little wealth, wealth is a fading shadow and a thing that constantly changes hands. My nephew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one whose closeness, kinship, and love you all know well. He will marry Sayyidatuna Khadija bint Khawlid radiallahu anha, and from my wealth, 20 camels will be set as her dowry. His future is very bright, noble, and of high honor. After Abu Talib, Sayyidatuna Khadija's paternal cousin, Warqa ibn Nawfal, also stood and delivered a remarkable sermon, the essence of which was, praise be to Allah Almighty, who has made us as you, Abu Talib, described and granted all the virtues you've counted. Indeed, we are the leaders and chiefs among the Arabs, and you are also deserving of all honors. No tribe can deny your merits, and no person can reject your dignity and honor. Truly, we have willingly accepted this union and are pleased to be part of this family connection. Therefore, O Quraysh, bear witness that I have given Khadija radiallahu anha in marriage to Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in exchange for a dower of 400 mithqals. You've just heard, in days of his youth, our master and beloved Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so well known of his honesty, truthfulness, and noble character that everyone, near and far, ordinary people and nobles alike, recognize him by titles As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, meaning the truthful and the trustworthy. It was a blessing of his integrity, truthfulness, and excellent manners that Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu anha, without any fear or hesitation, would entrust him with her trade goods to sell. The captivating beauty of his conduct won the heart of Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu anha, a woman of unmatched purity, until she was honored with the great rank of becoming Ummul Mu'mineen through the marriage to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Now let us think, do we possess good manners? Do we always speak the truth? Are we trustworthy? Do we treat fellow Muslims with kindness and fairness? Our character should be so noble that sinners are moved to repent from their wrongs, guided towards goodness, and even non-Muslims, upon witnessing our morals, are moved to accept Islam. Alhamdulillah, the embodiment of noble character, the leader of all prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, possessed such lofty morals that the Holy Quran itself proclaimed his greatness in Surah Al-Qalam, verse number 4. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Translation from Kanzul Irfan, and you possess an impeccable character. The final prophet of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, clearly explained the purpose of his prophethood and the importance of good manners when he said, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, meaning, I was sent only to perfect good manners. تیرے خلق کو حق نے عظیم کہا, تیری خلق کو حق نے جمیل کیا, کوئی تجھ سا ہوا ہے نہ ہوگا شہا، تیرے خالق حسن و ادا کی قسم. میننگ، یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم، اللہ Almighty honored your blessed habits in the Holy Quran and he adorned your noble birth with beauty. I swear by the Lord who created your radiant beauty and your graceful ways, never has there been anyone as handsome and perfect as you, nor will there ever be in the future. Therefore, all Muslims, especially the youth, should take the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam as a guiding light. They should make qualities like honesty, good manners, and truthfulness a part of their lives. A person who adorns himself with these qualities earns the praise of everyone, whether close or distant, gains their trust, wins their love, and draws their heart towards him. By blessings of these qualities, such a person becomes beloved in the eyes of all. On the other hand, dishonesty, deceit, bad manners, and lying are destructive evils. One who falls into them incurs the displeasure of Allah Almighty and his beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, loses the companionship of sincere friends, fails to win people's trust, and cannot earn their goodwill. Now let us listen to three ahadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam condemning deceit, bad manners, and lying. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Cursed is the one who harms a Muslim or deceives him." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "The stingy, the rebellious, and the ill-mannered will not enter paradise." A person arrived in the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, which action leads a person to hell?" The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam replied, "Lying, when a person lies, he commits sins. When he commits sin, he becomes ungrateful. And when he becomes ungrateful, he enters hell." My dear viewers, from childhood, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was unmatched in every noble quality. When he reached the age of youth, these qualities shone even brighter. His trustworthiness and honesty were so remarkable that they earned him immense acceptance among people. Allah Almighty also blessed him with sound intellect and unparalleled wisdom. When the Holy Kaaba was being rebuilt, a dispute arose among the chiefs of Arabia over who would have the honor of placing Hajar-e Aswad. This matter escalated to the point of bloodshed. At that time, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam gave such an extraordinary decision that even the greatest leaders and wise men bowed to its greatness. And all of them declared, "By Allah Almighty, he is the trustworthy one, and we are content with his judgment." So let's listen to this incident and take the valuable lessons it offers. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam reached the age of 35, a heavy rainfall caused such a massive flood in the sacred sanctuary of the Holy Kaaba that the Kaaba's structure collapsed. In earlier times, the tribes of Amalika, Jurham, and Qusay had repaired and rebuilt the Holy Kaaba. But because the foundation was deep in the valley, whenever torrents of rainwater flowed down from the mountains, floods would often enter the sacred sanctuary. To protect the Holy Kaaba, the Quraysh had built barriers in the upper parts of the valley, but they repeatedly broke. So the Quraysh decided to rebuild the Holy Kaaba with the stronger walls, raise its door higher, and cover it with a roof. Thus, the Quraysh began the construction together. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam also participated in this noble work, carrying stones alongside the chiefs of Quraysh. Each tribe took responsibility for a different section of the structure. But when the walls reached the point where Hajar-e Aswad was to be placed, a fierce dispute arose. Each tribe wanted the honor of lifting and setting Hajar-e Aswad into its place, so it would be a source of pride for their people. The dispute dragged on for 4 days and escalated to the point where swords were drawn, and some were even willing to sacrifice their lives over it. On the fifth day, all the tribes gathered in the sacred sanctuary. An elderly man suggested, "Let us agree that whoever enters the Holy Kaaba first tomorrow morning will decide the matter and we will accept his judgment." Everyone agreed. By the divine will, the next morning, the first to enter the sacred sanctuary was none other than the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The moment people saw him, they cried out, "By Allah Almighty, this is the trustworthy one. We are content with his decision." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam then instructed that one chief from each tribe should be chosen to represent their people. Once they had been selected, he spread out his blessed cloak, placed Hajar-e-Aswad upon it, and told the chiefs to lift it together. They carried it up to its place. Then the Holy Prophet ﷺ himself, with his blessed hands, set the sacred stone firmly into its position. In this way, a bloody conflict that could have caused immense bloodshed was averted through the wisdom and justice of the beloved Prophet ﷺ. Tuhi anbiya ka sarwar, tuhi do jahan ka yaver, tuhi rahbare zamana, madani madine wale. Meaning, O Master of Medina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the leader of the prophets, the helper in this world and the hereafter, and the guide for all humanity across time. My dear viewers, we've heard how in his youth, our master, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, possessed such remarkable wisdom, insight, and decision-making ability. Whenever a dispute arose among different tribes, there seemed no way to resolve it. The matter would ultimately come before the justice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Observing the nature of the issues, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would deliver a fair and thoughtful judgment that everyone would gladly accept, preventing any bloodshed or conflict. My dear viewers, we have learned about the blessed youth of our master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who always stood for the truth. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam was adorned with the highest qualities, including trustworthiness, excellent manners, and honesty. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was famously known by the titles As-Sadiq and Al-Amin. For the sake of trade, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled to many lands. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had great compassion for oppressed and the needy. Through his fair judgments, dispute among tribes were resolved, bringing about peace. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself placed the revered Hajar-e-Aswad in its position in the walls of the Holy Kaaba with his blessed hands. Now the question is, what should a true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam be like? A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be someone who sincerely loves Allah Almighty and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should love the holy companions, Ahlul Bayt, and the pious saints. A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam should follow the commands of Allah Almighty and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam should perform all five daily prayers in the masjid, in congregation, and in the first row. A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam should fast in Ramadan and observe all obligatory duties. A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should protect his eyes, ears, and tongue and avoid harmful movies and serials. A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should avoid useless distractions, improper use of mobile phones, the internet, and sinful activities. A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should avoid bad company. A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should stay away from all kind of intoxicants. A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should frequently recite durood and salam upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should act upon the sunnah and encourage others to do the same. A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should invite others to do good and prevent them from wrongdoing. A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should avoid deeds that lead to hell. A true young devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should perform actions that lead to paradise. Teri sunnaton pe chalkar meri rooh jab nikal kar chale tu gale lagana madani madine wale meri aadatein ho behtar banu sunnaton ka pehkar mujhe muttaqi banana madani madine wale. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen sallu alal habib sallallahu ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers, in today's episode, we shared events from the blessed youth of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We heard accounts highlighting his honesty and truthfulness and learned about his unparalleled wisdom and insight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts and grant us his blessings. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Honors unmatched, a rank supreme, a blessed name, a timeless gleam, chosen above all by Allah's decree.
Muhammad alayhi salam our nobility.
Unique honors of the beloved prophet.